Our gracious, kind, loving Father, we bow in thy presence here today, asking you'll give us guidance in what's said and done. That these young people might come to grips with that great decision of bringing God into their lives. I pray you'll guide us in what's said and done. It might bring glory to Christ our Savior. In Jesus' name, amen. Serendipity, a word. There's a Persian tale that was translated into French, and then later on it was translated into English. And it's a story of three princes of Serendip. In those happy days when kings were philosophers, there was in the East a powerful monarch by the name of Farfar, who lived and reigned in the kingdom of Serendip. Now this prince had three male children, equally handsome, equally well made, and equally very promising as the prince of Serendip. And he loved them with an extreme tenderness, and he was willing to have them instructed in all the necessary services to the end that they would be worthy to succeed him as a prince of Serendip. He called them in one day for instruction. And then to further their education, he sent them into other lands to be travelers, world travelers. And he instructed them in their travels to be observant, to watch all things, to be careful as they went that they might learn about life. To be worthy to be a prince of Serendip. One day, those three men met a leader of the camels. And the camel leader was very agitated because he had lost one camel. And those men, being wise as they were and wanting to be princes of Serendip, decided they would help the camel leader find the lost camel. And through their intelligence, they would deduct and investigate and find the lost camel for the camel leader. And as they went along, they deducted and observed certain things. They decided the camel was blind in one eye because the grass on one side of the road was eaten more than the grass on the other side. They knew he had some teeth missing because every step, bits of grass, turf of grass was missing. And other turf of grass standing. They knew he was lame, this camel, because it dragged one foot in the grass. And they knew he carried butter on one side and honey on the other side, because there were ants on one side of the road which feed on fat, and flies on the other which feed on sweets. Brilliant deductions, these three men of Serendip. And so goes the tale of the princes of Serendip. But what caught my attention, what aroused my interest, was the fact that out of that story and that tale was born a word. And the word was called serendipity. Serendipity. The ability to find valuable things unexpectedly. The dictionary defines it this: the gift of finding valuable or agreeable things not sought for. A word coined by Walpole. In the Sermon on the Mount, Jesus Christ said, "Seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and serendipity, surprise, all these things shall be added unto you." Serendipity is to set high goals in life, to lay great plans in life, and to have something altogether different come out of them. It's like this, young people. It's like Christopher Columbus trying to find a shortcut to Asia, stubbed his toe on America. And God said, serendipity, surprise. Looking for one thing, they discovered another thing. Looking for something that they thought was of value, they found something of much more value. That is serendipity. You see, in the pursuit of a goal, he found something else. And that is the way it is with the kingdom of God. And that is what Christ instructs us in the Sermon on the Mount. He says, when you are searching, you will come across many surprises in life. If you're looking for fulfillment and happiness and success in one area, you may find it in another area. Don't be surprised. Some of you young people already here in this class at this young age have set goals. You're talking about high school or academy. You're talking about college and careers. And perhaps you will never find it and never achieve it. But in your search, you will find something else and something more and meaningful and more beneficial. When I was a little boy, I wanted to be a fireman. That was honorable. I liked fires. But I stubbed my toe on the gospel and became a preacher. And I've been putting out fires ever since. Serendipity. God's surprises. Now this is the process of what we call indirection, kids. It's deeply written into all life. You see, young people in this class, you must learn the lesson of serendipity. Let's look at some of those truths for a few moments together. First of all, in the history of medicine, it's filled with serendipitous events or surprises. You see, there was a man called Pasteur. He was looking for a way to keep wine from spoiling. And lo and behold, he discovered something we call pasteurization. And it's helped us and civilization, and it's become a lifesaver. Serendipity. He stubbed his toe on pasteurized milk. The discovery of anesthetics was a serendipitous event, a surprise. You see, it was an accident almost. It was indirection. Dr. Crawford Long of Jefferson, Georgia, went to hear an itinerant lecturer speak on laughing gas. And the lecturer said, if you inhale this, it made people laugh and be happy. And having some experience with ether, Dr. Long tried it out and put people to sleep. And that was a serendipitous event, and it said surprise. Oliver Wendell Holmes named it anesthesia. Take the discovery of penicillin. The story is well known, how in an open window, a gust of wind blowing through contaminated the plate of cultures of Alexander Fleming's laboratory at St. Mary's Hospital. And through his microscope, he saw all kinds of wonderful blue mold, and he discovered all kinds of things about little bugs, and delivered a knockout punch to all kinds of those little invisible bugs. Surprise! Serendipity! What a wonderful world. All of life has its surprises, kids. You've heard of the man who saw an apple, or rather had an apple fall on his head. Surprise, serendipity, gravity. Gravity. You've heard of the man who was sitting in the kitchen, his wife was boiling something in the pot, and he saw the cover popping up and down with the steam, and serendipity, surprise, the steam engine. You probably heard of the man who watched a lamp swinging in a cathedral in Pisa. And there he was watching that lamp swinging back and forth. And out of that surprise and searching for one thing, he discovered another thing. And lo and behold, he put the pendulum in the grandfather's clock. And we've been hearing the ticking ever since. Surprise. Serendipity. Do you realize that glass was a surprise? Serendipity. A big surprise. Rubber was another serendipitous event. But we must look to a higher realm than that, kids. We must go beyond that. You're the graduating class of 1984. You need to realize that sometimes in the pursuit of one treasure, you find a more worthwhile treasure. In seeking success in one area, you may find it in another area. How many parents here today started out in the pursuit of one career, one goal, one profession, and wound up in another? Seeking one treasure, finding another. Life is like that. And that's why Jesus could say in the Sermon on the Mount, seek ye first the kingdom of God and surprise. All these things will be added unto you. Now, I discovered two things in our text. I discovered two things about serendipity. First of all, the seeker always finds. The seeker always finds. The seeds of great discovery are constantly floating around us, but only the men or the women or the young people who is actually seeking for something will find something. Make no mistake about it. Serendipity is not a chance. It is not an accident. It is not an accident of careless minds or lazy, casual people. They are surprised to be sure. It is a surprise, but they are the byproducts of serious research and intelligent self-effacing and self-finding. They are seekers after something, and they find something. You will never in your life find a great surprise without searching with a great intensity. And that's what the gospel is all about. And that's what God says in the Sermon on the Mount. You must be intense about your search. And in your intensity of your search, you will find surprises all around you. Shallow thinkers never find surprises. Shallow searching, getting by, slipping through school, not studying, graduating class of 1984. If you are content by getting by, casual approach to life, and a casual approach to your future, and lazy, uninterested approach, you will miss out on the big surprises, the big discoveries, the big moments in life. Seek ye first the kingdom of God, and if you really seek it with intensity, you will find great surprises. But it takes time. Seeking. Greatness and success and happiness takes time. It requires time. You have given God these 8 years in school, and you have more years ahead of you. It takes time. It takes long hours. It takes many weeks. It takes months. It takes years before serendipity. The telephone. Do you realize there were 2,000 failures? 2,000 failures. Hours and weeks and months. Yea, even years in investigation. And then all of a sudden, there was a big surprise. And you know what happened. Mr. Watson, surprise, serendipity, surprise, serendipity. It takes time. It takes energy, sweat, blood, and tears, perhaps, but always energy. 2,000 experiments and then the telephone. By seeking the kingdom of God, we have additions to our life. Seek ye first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and it shall be added unto you. Make your goal high. Set your aim on the heavens. Make your life pursuit, and you will find something, something unexpected, unlooked for, lying in the path of your search. There are a number of valuable things, agreeable things, willing to be added as the incidental fruitage of your seeking. Young people, you must seek the kingdom of God. And you will discover some real big surprises. Real big surprises. Seek ye first the kingdom of God. You must pursue the kingdom of God, the spiritual realm, the everlasting, and all these things of life will be added unto you. And that's what Jesus is saying here in this text. The message for this class as I see it. You must seek the kingdom of God first. On a wall at Bombay, India, in a chemistry laboratory, is this statement. You must search to find, but not to find what you are searching for. Serendipity, he's saying. Some of the most agreeable, valuable things, such as happiness and peace of mind and greatness and security, are found not directly pursuing it, but coming across it, being surprised by it. The kingdom of God comes in that way. Directly it comes to us, but it comes indirectly. Why is it some people see what all the rest of us miss? Because they're searching. They're searching for one thing and they find another valuable thing. The appreciation of good music, of good art, and a good book. I remember when I was pastoring a college church in Keene, Texas, I was walking along the campus, and you know me, my feet run faster than my head. My wife always is behind. It's not because I'm trying to keep her from being liberated. But it's just I run. My feet have a tendency to run. And I was running across the campus full speed ahead, and the art teacher of campus of Southwestern Adventist College slowed me down. He said, "Stop!" So I stopped. It was from my school days. Whenever the professor said stop, I stopped. I stopped and I said, what? He said, Ron, he said, you're too busy. He didn't have to be a scientist, a prophet to tell me that. I said, yes, that's true. He said, why don't you come to art class and learn how to paint? And I started to laugh. I said, paint? I can't draw a straight line. How can I paint? He said, you don't need to draw to paint. And I really laughed. You don't need to draw to paint. And then my head caught up to my feet. And I said, all right, I'll go to art class if you will come to prayer meeting. I'm always created asking for decisions, all times. You come to prayer meeting, I will go to art class. He came Wednesday night, sat in prayer meeting, and I knew I was cornered. I tried to avoid looking at him, but I preached the message, but every now and then I would see the smile on his face. And so Thursday evening I was in art class. Can you believe it? He handed me a canvas, he handed me a brush and put some paint on the palette. And he said, go ahead, paint. Surprise! Serendipity! And now I am an artist to some degree. Oh, you laugh, huh? Carol, I preach here the last week of this month. I'm bringing some of my art work. Huh? Yeah, he's seen it. He's a believer. Serendipity. He came to prayer meeting. Serendipity. Surprise. He came to a relationship with Jesus Christ. He discovered the kingdom of God, and he sought first the kingdom of God, and serendipity. Surprise. And he knows the Lord better, and I know beauty better. That is serendipity. Serendipity. Surprise. Surprise. In a crusade some years ago, a young man was running from the police. And he was running as fast as he could run. And he came by this church, and it was noisy in the church. They were singing a hymn, and he decided to duck into the church and hide. And this young man running from the police ducked into the church, found an empty pew, sat down, and I stood up to preach. Don't ever run into my church when you're running from the police. This young man running from the police comes to a message, responds to the gospel, and he's a Christian now. Serendipity, surprise. She came to a tent seeking a Baptist revival. Instead, she found an Adventist revolution. Surprise. Surprise. God has a thousand ways of surprising us. Serendipity. A man looking through a microscope, he discovers an atheist. He looks through a microscope and he discovers a creator design. Surprise. Astrologer looking to the heavens through his telescope, and he sees order of the universe, and he discovers God. Surprise. Our plans are not always his or ours. Our desires are not ours alone, but seek ye first, and there these things shall be added. All these things shall be added unto you. All these things shall be added unto you. Seek ye first the kingdom of God. He said in another place in the Word of God these words, this is life eternal, that they might know thee, the only true God, and Jesus Christ whom thou hast sent. Ellen White, who a young Methodist girl, going through life trying to serve in silence, God said, surprise. And Ellen White, Methodist girl, became Adventist messenger. Surprise. And she wrote something. And I think it's valuable, because I know where she comes from and who speaks through her. She says this, this is a knowledge of such value that no language can describe. Speaking of this text, seek ye first, this is life eternal. This is the knowledge of such value that no language can describe it. It is of the highest worth in this world and in far-reaching as eternity. Seek ye first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and all shall be added unto you. Surprise! I was running through my neighborhood one cold, wintry day. And I was wearing patch clothes. And that was the day when it wasn't in style, remember? Now you pay extra for the patches. Right? You pay extra. But in those days you didn't want to wear them. And Mama used to do a wonderful job with the patches. My Mama. Mama, where are you, Mama? Mama's here today. Where is Mama? Stand up, Mama. Come on now. This is Mama. Surprise when she got me. And Papa's sitting right beside her. Papa, will you stand up? So if you have anything against me, get after them today. Well, I was running through my neighborhood. It was cold, and I was trying to keep warm. And I came to an open storefront on Ocean Avenue. I remember it today. And there were all pretty signs and posters on it about an inviting world. And it said, library, temporary library. And I stopped. And I looked in. And there were grubby kids in there, so I figured I could go too. And I stepped through the door, and I took out a library card. Serendipity! Surprise! And now I love to read. And I read perhaps 3 books, 4 books a week. I love to read so much. Surprise! Not looking for a library, not wanting knowledge. Surprise! I stubbed my toe upon knowledge, and I've been soaking it up ever since because of my great love for it. This is the knowledge of value. Some of us search for truth, but we find falsehood. Some of us search for eternal treasure, but we find it in the wrong places. Eternal happiness in the wrong places. Eternal life amid the skeletons of sensual pleasure. You see, we find it amid the graveyard of broken lives, seeking the kingdom of God. But we seek the kingdom of men, and the kingdom of men corrupt us, and they corrode us, and eventually kill us. You can get Cadillac kids by putting down cash, but you cannot get character, and that comes by the serendipitous event of coming in contact with that divine mind. You can get a house with a down payment, but you cannot build a home. You can't build a home. Seek ye first the kingdom of God, and your home will follow after you. You can get money, and you can decide to go into some profession or occupation because it pays better, but you cannot get real riches in life. You cannot unless you seek the kingdom of God first and foremost. Seek ye first the kingdom of God and His righteousness. All these things will be added unto you. I was flying from Keene, Texas to San Antonio in a little plane. Now, flying is good for me because I pray a lot. From the moment I get on to the moment I get off, I pray. But I had to fly from Keene right after church service. I preached in my church, and I had to fly down to San Antonio for a crusade. We're going to have an exciting crusade this fall in our church. I'm going to preach God's word here, old-fashioned evangelistic revival. I'm looking forward to that. Do you notice how I got that commercial in? October 13, by the way, if you're setting your calendar. And I was flying over in this plane, and I had a book with me. And I figured if I was going, I was going to go with knowledge. And I wasn't looking out the windows. I was just looking, reading the book. Every now and then we would jump, and I would say another prayer. And I was reading the book. And I read a story about a boy in India. And this little boy in India was just 7 years old. And his mother was not a Christian. And so she decided to take him to the sadhu. Is that how you say it? Where's my Indian brothers and sisters? A holy man. What is that? Sadhu? That's close enough with a Brooklyn accent. All right. I got authenticity. I just asked an Indian. So his mother wanted to take him to the sadhu, the holy man. He might discover God. And so she brought the 7-year-old. And he decided he would become a holy man. But a year passed and his mother died. And he decided he would become nothing. But the father who was influenced by education, decided he would put him in a Christian school in the area, and the boy would learn, and the father would see to it that he learned. And so he put the boy there in the school to learn. And the boy was rebellious from the moment he walked into the school till he went home. And when they talked about God, and they talked about God's book, and they talked about Christ and death and Christianity and hope, he refused, he rebelled, he hated it. And one day he took his Bible book and walking into the town square, he started a fire and he threw the Bible in the fire. Now the father was agitated by it, not only because the father was now becoming a Christian, but he was agitated because the boy had taken a book and had burned it. And the father said in anger, "You will stay in your room and you will stay there until you find peace with God." This boy, angry, in turmoil, one day went by, one night went by, he would not. 2 days went by, two nights, and anger seething. The third day, he was there, angry, hitting things and yelling and screaming, and all of a sudden he saw the face of Jesus. And that does happen. That does happen. And it happens here in America. And I've met men and women in my crusades that they have seen the face of Jesus. They've come to the light of the gospel of God. Well, he saw the face of Jesus. And there, with the encounter of the face of Jesus, he was converted. He decided he would leave that room, but he would be silent. He wouldn't say a word. He would be a silent Christian. Can you imagine? Many of you have gone to that school. Many of you have gone to that school. He would live the life, but be silent. But after a few days out in the community, they looked at Sadhu Singh. They looked at him, and they knew he was different. There was something different about him. And soon he couldn't be silent any longer. He began to share his faith, and he talked about Christ, and those people in the village, they began to hate him, and they abused him, and he decided he would go to Tibet. And he would bring Christ to Tibet. And there he went on wounded feet, that young man out into the mountains of Tibet with the gospel of Jesus, and they refused to listen, and they beat him, and they took him one time, and they threw him into a deep well. They thought they would get rid of him. Threw him in a deep well. But the Lord saved him from the deep well. Reminds me of another story about someone who was thrown into a well. Then he went back to Tibet with the gospel. And they took him and they wrapped him in a blanket and they beat him and beat him as if they beat him to death. And then they threw him in a garbage heap. And days languishing close to death in the garbage heap, he crawled out. And he witnessed crawling the trails of Tibet, witnessing for the glory of the gospel of God. He went back to his home village, and the few friends that he led to Christ, and to those Christians, they said, "You stay here and teach us." But he had a missionary burden for Tibet. God saved him in India, and God said, "Surprise, Tibet." And he said, "I am going back to Tibet." And they said, "But if you go back, they will kill you." He said, "I'm going back to Tibet." And that young man, that young teenager, went back to Tibet with that Bible, like the one he burned. And he walked the trails of Tibet, witnessing, to the Lord Jesus Christ. In 1929, Sadhu Singh searched for religion that was popular. But he found a religion of power. He searched for peace of mind and he stumbled upon the Prince of Peace. He searched to be silent and to be a witness in his village. And God said, "Surprise, Tibet." Serendipity, God has written across life. And God writes it across your life, eighth graders. And there are great surprises ahead for each one of you. Here in this place, in this class, may you be prepared for one thing. But maybe God has another surprise for each of you. Seek ye first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and God will say, surprise, serendipity. Lord Jesus Christ, I pray, O God, for these eighth graders, for our youth here in this congregation today, that they might discover and be searching and looking and find the surprises when they come. But most of all, may they, stubbing their toe on knowledge, find wisdom. Studying for a profession, may they stumble upon a possession. And that is the riches of the kingdom of God. I ask these favors not because I'm worthy, but because I ask it in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen and amen.
This has been another classic sermon from the Archive of American Christian Ministries. This recording has been digitally reprocessed from the original audio cassette or reel-to-reel in order to make this CD available. The audio quality was improved as much as possible. International copyright, American Christian Ministries. All rights reserved. To order a copy of this or other presentations, or for a free catalog, please call toll-free 800-233-4450. International calls dial 717-652-7000. You may also order from our secure website at www.americanchristianministries.org. There you will discover the largest selection of authentic Adventist preaching available. You can trust ACM. There is no compromise here. If American Christian Ministries has been a blessing to you, why not take a moment just now and send us a note or an email with your testimony? We'll share it with our speakers and volunteer workers to encourage them. Your prayers and continued financial support are very important to ensure the continuation of this ministry as we help prepare America and the world to meet Jesus Christ. He's coming soon.